Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus one more hand clap of praise. He's a good God. God is great. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here on this holiday weekend. And it's an honor to have you here. And we just believe that in Christ, that the best is yet to come. Amen. And that He's with us and He's taken us, I believe, to our next steps with this every way. And so I want to welcome those watching online. Literally every weekend people watch around the world, around our nation, around Indiana, and around our city. So let's please welcome our online campus, please. They're a part of us. Thank you so much for being a part today. And I want to preach today a concise message entitled, Tomorrow is Going to Be Great. How many believe that tomorrow is going to be great? I just believe that. Our best days are ahead. And so I want to encourage you today with some vision here at the end of the message. I want to highlight some of the things that God has done this year. Truly, this was a banner year for our church. It was truly amazing. And yet, you know, we're reaching for more. So I want to highlight that at the end of the message and then just cast some vision for our prayer and fasting. And I believe what God's going to do. So Father, I thank you today for this great congregation. Lord, my wife and I are honored to be a part of this great church. And we don't want to take it for granted. So, Lord, during this last Sunday, I pray that all of us would lay down any resistance, we would set aside any distraction, and that we would right now focus in and we would receive from you. Our hearts are yours. Keep us safe in this room and in this building. And as we leave, Lord, this new year, God, I just thank you for your protection and your safety. Thank you for hope, and I thank you for moving us forward into 2019. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Tomorrow is going to be great. Now, I hope that 2018, I hope it was a great year for you. And yet I know by the number of people in this room and those watching online that for some, it wasn't great. And have you noticed, have you lived long enough to know that every year brings its challenges and it brings its victories? And I think on a consistent, I believe, basis, we are all of us are navigating the good, the bad, and the ugly. How many have been there before? And there's good news, though, that no matter what 2018 was or wasn't, I believe that tomorrow is going to be great. And this is big for this message. Not because of our circumstance. Not because of our money or, you know, it's not going to be because of everything's perfect or okay. It's because that we have God in our life. That's why tomorrow is going to be great. And so I want to draw your attention to the key verse today, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Maybe you've heard this verse, you know, thousands of times. Maybe you never heard this verse, but I want to encourage you with this thought. And I want to break it down and just end this message with two practical ways we can fortify our faith that tomorrow is going to be great. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Aren't you glad for that? Notice, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I love the promise that God has plans for us, and God knows those plans, which is a good thing. And those plans are good and not evil. And we have a future and we have a hope in Jesus. Aren't you glad for that today? Now, this is a key, I believe, doctrinal point for our church. We don't believe that God's the bad guy. We believe that God is the good guy and that He has good things for His people. This is a fundamental truth of our God. The Bible says that the goodness of God endures continually. And we know who the bad guy is. It's the Patriots. We know that, don't we? Even more specifically, it's the Titans today. And so the Colts... Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. We're in church. That's right. I'm sorry. We're going to win in Jesus' name. And so what is the struggle? But maybe you've heard these messages. Maybe you've heard this verse. Okay, that's great. You know, my future is great. He has good plans for me. Okay, this is awesome. 2019 is my best year ever. We've heard those things before. What's the barrier to it? What is at times the hurdles that we have right in front of us when you think of a new year in new opportunities? And I think it boils down to this tension that all of us deal with, which is it's truth versus facts. Everyone say truth versus facts. What does that mean? Facts, if you're taking notes today, facts are circumstantial. It's the circumstances around our life. It doesn't mean that those are false. It just means there are circumstances that are around our life, maybe happening to us or happening because of us, but they are happening, I mean, nonetheless, right? And sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad, and sometimes they're indifferent. They're facts. Truth, however, according to John 17:17, says that God's word is truth. Everyone say truth. And that literally means, from the Bible, it literally means the highest reality. So what that means is for some of us, our reality is that we're lonely. Some, maybe our reality is that we're rich or we're poor or we're somewhere in the middle. Some of us, our reality is that we're healthy. Other realities are maybe we're not healthy. Other people have reality of peace internally. Other people, their reality is turmoil and just upheaval on the inside. And so no matter what your reality is, that's true. But however, the truth is that God is the highest reality, meaning that he is greater than any other reality that we could face. Aren't you glad for God today? So the tension that we have is circumstances around us that are speaking maybe good, bad, or indifferent. And then we have the truth that we're believing that's the highest reality. And really, it's a battle of who are we going to believe? How are we going to live our life? And really, you and I, from the Old Testament and the New Testament, God gives it to you and I, choose this day life. You and I have the power to choose and believe that God will come through for us. Now, here's the thing about this verse in Jeremiah that some people overlook and maybe don't even know. First off, in history, we believe Jeremiah was about 14 years of age when he started prophesying to the whole nation of Israel. So he started as a teenager. He prophesied the captivity of God's people. Finally, it happened. In Jeremiah chapter 29, he's writing a letter from God to God's people after the fact that they've been taken prisoner by a foreign nation. A foreign nation came and totally took over the nation of Israel and led most of the people away and forced them from their homes, from their farms, from their vineyards, whatever, and forced them to live in a foreign land. Now, I want you to think about the facts, the circumstances that were surrounding God's people. Here they are, taken captive against their will, stripped of their possessions, forced to live in a different nation, and yet the prophet comes and says that God has good plans for you. How would you feel about that word? Thank you, God. Where's my home at, right? Why are we in this foreign land? And he says, in that place of being a captive and being a prisoner in a foreign nation, God says, I have plans for you that are good and not of evil, to give you hope and an expected end. And so I want you to see that there are times in our life that circumstances around us won't be perfect. We'll be facing circumstances that are speaking opposite of what we're hoping for in Jesus. And yet, when we're facing those circumstances, we choose to stand up and still believe that the truth of Jesus is greater than the facts that we're facing around us. You can clap a little bit better on a Sunday if you want to. I want to infuse your spirit that no matter what 2018 was or wasn't, we're believing that tomorrow is going to be great, not because of anything else other than the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what circumstance is around us, we can make it through because the truth of God is greater than the facts of our life. This is a huge point that you and I have to wrestle with, and you and I have to decide, how are we going to live our life? Are we going to live our life through circumstance? Well, whatever is, what is. I just kind of go with the flow. I guess this is what's going to happen to me. I guess this is what it's going to be. I'll just give up. Or are we going to choose to say, good, bad, or indifferent, I dare to believe that God will come through. I dare to believe that God has good things for me. I dare to believe that I have a future. I have a hope. Even if I'm a prisoner in a foreign land, I'm going to read God's word, and I'm going to choose to believe that if 2018 was good, if it was tough, if it was full of joy, if it was full of grief, if it was full of maybe both, that my future is bright. Now, here is an important point. We choose to always acknowledge facts. Please write this down if you're taking notes. We choose to acknowledge facts. It is weird to me to deny facts, ignore facts, bury your head in the sand. That's not true. That's not real. I don't believe it. That's not faith. That's weird. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's weird. All right? We acknowledge the facts, but we believe the truth. And you and I are going to have to really come to this point, all of us in our life, in this tension of believing the truth in the face of negative facts and believing that God has the power to change our circumstance. The father of our faith, Abraham, was 100 years old. My God. His wife was over 90. And God said, you're going to have a baby. Ladies, how would you like to be Sarah? And the Bible says in Romans that Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. In other words, the fact was Sarah could never conceive. She never conceived up to that point. Well past childbearing years. That was the fact. But the truth was, God said to Abraham, when he changed his name, through you, the seed will come. And I will cause you to have a son. And they came and they named him Isaac. And it was a miracle. And God did it. Think about that fact against them. Can you imagine being over 90, ladies, and you're still, and your husband is saying, you're going to have a baby? She said, no, I'm not. We're done, Pop. The facts were, this isn't going to happen. The truth said it is going to happen because the God of heaven said it would. You and I believe tomorrow is going to be great because of who God is and because of what he's going to do. So as we go from truth versus fact to this idea of tomorrow is going to be great, this is not wishful thinking or rolling the dice at the game of luck. Tomorrow is going to be great. Because as I've already said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to give you two more verses out of a plethora of verses just to fortify your faith. In Psalms 37, verse 23, they'll put it on the screen. Notice, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Notice this. He delights. Everyone say delights. In every detail of their lives. That tells me that God knows everything I like. He knows every detail of my life, and he's intimately involved with causing every detail to be formed or to come to pass. Then in Psalms 138, verse 8, notice this first phrase or line. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Say it with me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Say it one more time. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. What if you woke up and said that every day? The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. So all this sounds great. But how do you and I move forward? Because we know that bad years come and go, but the Word of God endures forever. We know that events happen around our world, around our nation, around our state, in our city, in our lives, every single day. And yet the promises of God are yes and amen. We know that emotions, come on now, go up and go down multiple times in one day. But God is steady and he changes not. So, as we transition to the practicality, how do you and I navigate truth versus facts? How do we fortify our faith to believe that tomorrow is going to be great, staring at a marriage that is almost over? Staring at a child that is out of control? Staring at a mountain of finance or a mountain of a physical challenge or a mountain of emotional upheaval. How do we do this in a practical way so that we can truly take a step forward and have what God says we can have? Two things. First, I want to challenge everyone for your notes is to simply remember. You know there's great power when you and I choose to remember what God has done. Have you noticed that for many of us, whether you're a Christ follower or not, please hear me. If you're not a Christ follower and you're watching or you're in this room, please hear me. You've never received Jesus, you feel disconnected, or you're searching for who God is, please hear me. It doesn't matter who we are in the world. The Bible says that God is good to the just and the unjust. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God's not whacking people on the head. That's wrong theology. God is wooing people to himself with his love. Judgment's coming, but we're in the time of grace. Aren't you glad for grace? So he's wooing people to himself. So if you're not a Christ follower, I would even challenge you. You can remember, if you take time to do it, how God maybe was in your life and you didn't even know it. Watching over you, keeping you. When you and I choose to remember, what we're doing is we are recounting all the acts God has done toward us. We recount all that God has done. We remember how he answered prayers. We remember how he made a way. And the reason why this is so important is because if God has answered just one prayer in our life, that means he's going to answer the next prayer in our life. And it's so simple for you and I, or so easy rather, for you and I to forget what God has done. And we're facing something and we think, oh, God's not going to do it. Oh, he's not answering prayers. Why is he answering this person? I mean, they're half crazy and I'm not. Why are they, why are they getting this and I'm not? And, God's not doing it. And we have all this negativity rise up and maybe our problems are huge and we shrink God to being really small. But when we remember and start recounting what God has done, that problem shifts from being a mountain to shrinking down to size, and our God begins to expand because we realize how much God has actually done in our life. We used to sing an old song when I was a little boy, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Old school church. Those are good old songs. We need to maybe sing them. No, not really. Anyway. So how do you do this practically? I'm almost done. I want to encourage everyone before the new year, go home today or whenever it is for you. Before it turns midnight and it's 2019, go home, sit down, and write a list. Begin to remember what God has done. This year, years ago, more recently, and just begin to write it out. I've done this so many times. I practice what I'm preaching. And by the time I get done with my list, my spirit is lifted, and I'm like, man, God did all that? I forgot about that. When you actually take time and sit down, turn off the phone, turn off the TV, just clear yourself and begin to start remembering answers to prayer, how he saved my life, how he protected me on that one night, how he did this for me, he gave me that job, he saved my life. Oh, yeah, that's right, I remember that. And you begin to write it all out. I mean, soon you're just like, oh, my God, God's done all this for me? Now our perspective shifts, and now we're focusing on truth versus facts. Now I can look at a fact and say, wait a minute, tomorrow is going to be great. Not because of whatever else, but because of what God has done in the past. He's going to do it again. This is such a simple exercise, but how powerful it is when you and I choose to remember. In fact, after you make that list, don't tuck it away. Put it in your bathroom. Put it on your dresser. Put it on the refrigerator and see it every day and remind yourself, oh, yeah, God did all this. Can't God do it again? It's really reminding yourself, even David, before he was king, he lost his wives, he lost his kids, his whole army lost their families, everything was taken. And in 1 Samuel 30, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. In other words, what that literally means is he took time and he said, wait a minute, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, I killed Goliath, I did this, I did that. God, you were with me. God, you protected me. You gave me success. Lord knows you're going to give me success right now. I'm going to get my wives back. I'm going to get my kids back. I'm going to get my... And so he focused on truth. So if you're heavy today with sadness, we know by stats this time of year is tough. Maybe you're not, but no matter where you're at, hear me, if you will just take time to remember what God has done, it will build our faith, and we see how big our God is. You know the thief next to Jesus on the cross? There's two thieves. One basically cursed Jesus or challenged him. The other thief on the cross in Luke 16 says, Lord, or it was in Luke, whatever it is, Luke, it's in Luke. He said, it's off the top of my head. He said, Lord, remember me. He didn't say, forgive me. He didn't say, you know, change me. He just said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. There's great power when, of course, God remembers us. He's God. But there's great power when we remember God. And we take time to shift perspective, maybe out of self-pity, out of offense, out of negativity, out of anger, and we choose to believe that tomorrow is going to be great because of who he is. And when I look at what he's done, it fortifies my faith. Remember. And the final thought is, on the practicality of this, to wrestle truth and facts and to move forward, I want to encourage everyone on another practical step from January 6th through the 26th to join us in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, we don't believe here that you can buy anything from God, manipulate anything from God, or bribe anything. We don't believe that. That's not a scriptural, that's not solid scriptural, scripturally. What is a truth is when God's people pray and fast, he moves on their behalf. Now, some people teach we don't pray for God to move. That's not true. Esther had her ladies and her uncle fast and pray for 3 days and three nights so that when she went into the king's chambers, which was against the law without him asking, she just went in. That was against that law. That when she would go in, she wouldn't be put to death, which he could do as the king. So they were asking God to move on their prayers and fastings for favor to go in and see the king and have his audience to save the Jewish people. We know she went in and God answered her prayer. So many other stories in the Bible where people prayed and fasted for God to move and God did. We are praying and fasting. Let me be clear. We are praying and fasting for God to move in our individual lives, in our church, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. And I'm just simple enough to believe that when we pray and fast, our God, who is the same, will move like he did yesterday, today. Do you believe that? Give God praise, please. I want to challenge some of you who have never fasted, you've never done this, to join us and do it, and you fast whatever you feel led to do. You can fast. We're not legalistic about it. You can fast whatever you feel led to fast. Some people don't watch TV for 21 days. Some people don't do social media. Some people do certain foods. Some people don't eat food for 21 days. Some people do whatever. All this is biblical, but I want to encourage you, you think about what you can do, and then I want to encourage you to write down your prayer request. As I told you to write a list, then write out your prayer request, because when you see God do it, you can cross it off and say, look what the Lord done. Have a memorial before God. If I could show you my prayers every morning, I have sheets of paper in my Bible that I pray over every morning that are tattered and torn and full of fingerprints, dirty. And I've been able to cross off so many things. And every morning I get up and pray, I look at those crossed off things and it gives me the courage to keep on praying because I see what God's already done. Keeps me going in my faith. What I'm telling you is not rocket science. It's very simple that all of us can do. Just small steps, but yet big dividends in our faith. I want to encourage you, we're going to give you verses and we're going to give you prayer themes every day so that will help you pray and read the Bible every day. You can join us in this. If you look at your worship guide real quick, you'll notice, if you pull that out, and I'm closing, amen. Morning prayer, you can see that we have morning prayer every day during the 21 days of prayer and fasting from 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning. I want to challenge some of you that can to come pray in the morning. Come pray in the morning. Then notice on evening prayer at night, January 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd, on a Wednesday, we'll have prayer from 7 to 8. We'll have live worship. We'll have childcare. And every time we come together and pray, whether it's the morning or those Wednesday nights, we'll have time at the end where we will walk over to the new sanctuary. We'll have spaces in the new sanctuary where we will write down our loved ones' names, our friends' names on the sanctuary floor before we put carpet as a memorial, believing that they will be saved. This has been the best year in our church's history. Over 90,000 people have come to Jesus overseas through our missions efforts of mass crusades. Here locally, we've had the most salvations ever. Over 1,300 people have received Jesus here at City Church. We've had the biggest attendance. We've broke attendance barriers. Let's give God praise for that. Amen. We've broken attendance barriers. We've broken records on that. And that's important to us. One of our core values is growth. We count people because people count. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not backing off of that. I believe it's biblical to count people, and it's biblical to want to grow. I just think that, and that's my conviction of the church. I think it's simple. And that's what our mandate is, to reach more people for Jesus. We've given the most money away this year to missions. We've invested the most money into children, teenagers, and college students this year. We've been able to give more clothes, more food away than ever before, including giving a home to a first-time homeowner, the first in her family's legacy. She's living in it right now. Thank you for your generosity. We've had the most finances ever before in our church. All that is so wonderful. But there's more for us. You know, no year should be just an apex and then it goes down after that. I believe year to year it should get better and better. That's our faith. That's our God. So we're moving into the new building, not just to have a bigger room and not just to do whatever. I mean, I don't need the stress. We're doing it to reach more people. We're doing it to reach your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your spouse, your future spouse, your neighbor. Red, yellow, black, white, brown. The rich and the poor. The infamous. Recently, we baptized someone that's on house arrest. Had a bracelet on, so we had their foot out the tank and just baptized them. So they all got saved, minus their ankle. So we had to pray for their ankle. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone. Some of you are a little convicted by that. That's all right. Don't be afraid. We'll get everyone. We'll get it eventually. We'll do it later. Foot, get baptized. Everyone is welcomed here. So tomorrow is going to be great. Not because of me, not because of you, not because of money, not because of cars, not because of America. It's because of God. That's why it's going to be great. And when you and I choose to align ourselves with God, and we face facts that are scary, we face facts that are looming and staring down at us, screaming in our ear, we stand tall and we stare them in the face and we believe truth. Make a list. Please do this. Take time and make a list. Do it with your spouse. Do it by yourself. It doesn't matter. Make a list and put it up in your house as a memorial. Stir yourself up. Wake up spiritually. Paul said, wake up if you're asleep spiritually. See what God has done. Shake yourself. Oh, yeah. Look what God's done. Man, thank you. And believe again if you need to. Join us in this time of prayer and fasting. Starts next Sunday. Think about this week. Eat as much as you can this week. What God wants to do in your life. And write out those prayers. Think about when you can come to morning prayer. When you get that worship guide next weekend that gives you the daily focuses and the verses, apply yourself. Apply your faith. 21 days of aligning ourselves with God, believing that tomorrow is going to be great. If you believe this, give him a great hand clap of praise. He's a great Jesus today. Isn't he a good God? He's going to do it. Let's stand to our feet. You online, please stay tuned and respond to God as you feel led. Some of you need to receive Jesus. Some of you need a prayer request. Please let us know. You in this room, please bow your head to heaven and bow your hearts. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus. Now, please hear me. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about doing good things. I'm talking about receiving Jesus as your Christ, as your Savior, personally. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never done that, and or if you have done that at one point, but right now you're far from God. Look, in 1996, I prayed this prayer 10 times. I believe that's fine from the Bible. On the 10th time at a church camp, God totally wrecked me and changed my life forever. Some of you today say, I've prayed that prayer, but I'm nowhere close to God, and you know it. And it's your time to come back to Him. So if you've never received Jesus in your life, and or you have, but you're far from Him, and you need to come back to Him, as heads are bowed right now, if that's you in this room and those online, right now, please raise your hand with me. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today and come to Him. Thank you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Someone's coming to Jesus. Thank you so much over here. People are coming to Christ today. Thank you for that. Thank you for trusting us to do that. And then how many say, Pastor Dave, you know, when I think about truth and facts, I think about facts that I'm facing and I'm overwhelmed. And it's okay to be overwhelmed. I'm afraid. It's okay to be afraid. I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. And that's okay. And you would say, I just want strength. I want to take my next step, and I want to believe that God can do it for me. If that's you today, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive hope today. Good. Hands up all over. Thank you so much. We're going to make a list. We're going to apply ourselves for 21 days. We're going to align ourselves for 2019. We're going to be ready to receive what God has. Please follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours. And I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that and I say yes to you. I give you me forever. And I choose to believe that your truth is greater than anything I can face. And I believe in you. In Jesus' name.